This is Richard Cruz, proud to be a football sponsor. Remember, Stable Safe Storage whenever you need storage room.
Coach Starnes, it's fall break week. We're still licking our wounds a little bit from the 41-7 loss to Ballard Memorial on Friday night, but we got to get ready for our next district game. Fulton County comes here.
Yeah, Chris, and you know, I didn't have the kids ready to play. That was on me. It's my fault. We have to start the game with the same type of emotion and excitement that we did the second half. But you know, I don't know. I don't know what it was. I can't put my finger on it, but. You know, this is competition, and in competition, you're competing against somebody else, and there should be a level of excitement that you'd expect to be out there, and I just don't think that it was there, and again, it was my fault. It's on me.
You know, it was hauntingly quiet in the stadium. There wasn't a large crowd there. The turnout for Pink Out wasn't what it's been in the past. And two or three of us made some comments for the game. We're just, you know, home game, beautiful weather. You know, and our record's not just horrible. I mean, we're middle of the pack, like we have been, maybe a little better than we have been the last few years. But it is a team made up of sophomores, and Ballard came in probably expected to win this game. But yeah, and it's tough. You know, it's tough for the players when the stands are quiet too.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard. And you know, again, it's a combination of a couple things. It's you know, it's having three or four starters that are out, that we have to rely on even more youth and inexperience than before. And it's also inexperience and mistakes from the youth and understanding how to stop things from happening. We still, and you know, if you go back and look at the games that we got beat in, I'm not talking about Hopkins Central or McLean or something like that. It's the games that when things are going bad, then we don't have the experience of individuals that have been through it to say, here's what has to happen to stop it. And I think that's the problem that we have. And until these guys grow up and understand that, we'll continue to have that problem. But, you know, with experience is wisdom. And wisdom isn't smarter. It's just it's wiser because you experienced the things that are happening. And I think that until we get that experience, then we're going to have these pains. And, you know, we said that from the very beginning, and I think that's showing right now.
And you just can't replace not having that senior leadership mentality and that's what you're talking about. And when you haven't got it, or got it in large enough volume, it's difficult when a team throws up five touchdowns on you in the first half. You know, they recover that kickoff, they get a good field position, return an interception, just everything just... It's perfect. It turns into perfect storm, and there's not much you can do when you don't have what you're talking about.
Yeah, and until we do that, it's going to continue until we get that experience. But you know, that those things, it's when things are rolling down the hill. What are we going to do to stop it? Mm-hmm. Who's going to put the foot in the ground to stop us from continuing to go down the hill? And that's what we're looking for. And you know, I mean, in saying that, I mean, it's not that the kids don't try. I mean, because, you know, we watch them. We're out there with them every day in practice, and we see them in the games. And it's not they quit. It's just that we just don't have that experience yet, and that's where we are. And we can't change that. There's nothing we can do about it. We can challenge the kids, and we have challenged the kids this week. And you know, clearly we should be able to beat Fulton County. You know, but as I told the kids, you know that. That we faced another team several years ago that was had a losing streak, and we were supposed to win, and they came in and they beat us, and we can't take any team for granted, can't take them lightly, because they're going to try to prepare to win as well. Mm-hmm. And we knew that Ballard would come into our place, and because, you know, they're looking at building their program and establishing a program there. John Elliott, the coach, is doing a great job with him. He talked to me before the game, and you know, he explained to me that somebody, when he first took the job, somebody explained to him that Crittenden was 23-4, 24-3 against Ballard, mm-hmm. at the time, and so his goal was to beat Crittenden. And so he's done that the past 5 years in a row. And so that's what we have to understand, that people, because we beat them in the past, people are gunning for us. Sure. And so we have to make sure that we approach every game the same way, whether we're playing a Russellville, whether we're playing a Fulton City or Fulton County. And if we don't, then teams be able to slip up on us. And we're just not able to take the good teams and be competitive with them right now. We're going to have to work on that and get better.
Well, I'll tell you, they've got some good players. And if you were at the game, the boy wearing number 9, Williams, the receiver, and he ran the ball 2 or 3 times as well. But he's as good a receiver as I've seen this year and maybe probably the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, and he's an outstanding athlete. And, yeah. And you know, luckily he's a senior this year. Yeah. And so as he and Bledsoe and the Collier kid too.
When as big as the Arnold boy that they had, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago, that just right. When you threw the ball up, he was coming down with it.
He's coming down with it. Now, Williams is as tall as Arnold, but not as big.
Big, yeah. Arnold's a big kid.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we knew going into the game, they I felt had the advantage because I think that they had better athletes that could change the game in one play. And you know, when you throw it deep and allow somebody to catch it like that, yeah. Then that's what happens. And so, you know, once again, we're still focused on doing our job, take care of our responsibility, and you know, that seems like it's the continued theme throughout the course of this year. So we're going to continue that and stay with it.
Well, you had Brady Burke was out for the first time this week. Of course, he had a thumb injury, and he's going to have surgery, and he's out probably for the season. Might get him back the last week in the playoffs, later in the playoffs. But what did you see from your guys? You moved some guys around up front. What did you see there?
Well, you know, unfortunately, one of the ones that we put in there to replace Brady didn't come to practice a couple of days, and so he didn't get to start and play much at all because he was sick. So, you know, we're still trying to find the one to put in there. Trying to find the one that that's a backup for a backup, and you know, that's hard to do right now. And you know, we've got some kids that we're putting in there, but you know, when you get your opportunity and you don't perform, then you know, we're still looking for somebody to put in there. And you know, it's not that we feel like that the individual should be dominating to go in there. We understand, you know, he is a backup to a backup. But you know, when we want him to play 100 miles an hour, he needs to play 100 miles an hour. And if he's not going to play 100 miles an hour, then you have to try to find somebody else, even if you go all the way down to the freshman class.
Mm-hmm. Individually, I know you're not picking players of the week this week. As you said before, we went on the recording here. When you have a running clock, there's no players of the week. But Brandon Lamy still continues to impress me. You know, I think from about the midpoint of the season to now, he's really starting to come on as a go-to guy. And I think Hunter's looking for him more. And he had 4 receptions again for 30 yards, and which really helps out. Helps Ethan Hunt out. There for a while, Ethan was the guy making all the catches.
Yeah, and you know, Brandon Lamy continues to get better. And we say it all along. It's just it's with confidence. And he has the confidence now. In fact, he told me on the sideline Friday night that if I wanted him to go in and play defensive line, he'd play defensive line. You know, and so that's the confidence that he's getting, and he has right now, and he continues to improve, and we're glad that it's happened that way.
I was worried about him because I saw him in the color run, and he finished 2nd in the 5K out there Friday. You probably didn't know that because I don't.
No, I didn't know it.
I think you had asked him not to run.
I told him to be smart about it.
Most of the players had walked in it, but Brandon. But you know, after he's the kind of kid, he's in great shape. And, yeah. And I think he can run 3 or 4 or 5 miles and still go out
there. And there's some of them that can, and that's that's what we want to make sure that they understand.
I may have gotten him in
trouble. No, he's fine. But you know, he played well, and I'm not saying that because we don't pick players of the game, we didn't have kids to play well. I mean, we do have kids to play well, but you know, player of the game to me is when you pick a player of the game, it's he wasn't in there. What there's going to be a big difference in the game. And to me, there wasn't any one individual that would have been a big difference. A running clock is a running clock, so we can't have a defensive player of the game. You know, we didn't score until their JV was in there the second half, so we couldn't have an offensive player of the game. So, you know, and then we had a blocked kick, and, you know, and things just didn't go well for us. So, you know, I'm not into picking players of the game when we do bad like that because, you know, I think that a player of the game stands out. Now, did Gavin Dickerson have a good game? I thought that he played well. Did Ethan Hunt have a good game? You know, I thought he played well. And
offensively and defensively.
Yeah, both sides of the ball. So it's not that I don't think that we have some to play well because, you know, you have 11 kids out there and 22 on both sides of the ball. So at some point, somebody's going to play okay, but not good enough to have players at the game overall as a team.
Yeah, two guys who caught passes for the first time, Jared Lundy and Peyton Riley. That's got to be a positive moving forward. Those guys getting their hands on a ball and holding it. First time thrown to Peyton.
Yeah, and we've tried to put Jared Lundy in there before and throwing the ball, and you know, it's just you know, he has to work on some things and continue to get better.
He can create such a mismatch. He's so tall and long.
You know, he's a tree. Yeah. I mean, he's as tall as a tree out there. We know the fact that you could just throw the ball up to him and let him go up and get it against a vertically challenged cornerback. Mm-hmm. But you know, we haven't been able to do that, and hopefully we can at some point. You know, but Peyton Riley's something else. I mean, you know, that's what they were telling me in the JV game, that he caught everything that was thrown to him with one hand.
Yeah,
you know, he's got a cast. And so Peyton is we know he's going to be a receiver that is going to catch the football.
And he
doesn't have great speed.
Yeah, he's a blocker out there, too.
He does a good job. Peyton does a good job. And he doesn't have great speed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I tell you, individuals that do not have great speed and they're receivers – they are good possession receivers and run good routes and makes a big difference. So that's what we're going to expect from him in the future as well.
Yeah. Anybody else stick in your mind from the ball game? Got a lot of guys in second half.
You know, I think Devin Nesbitt is running the ball as hard as I've seen him run the football. He didn't have much room to run, but he's running the ball. And I'm going to tell you what, Charlie Johnson impresses me every time he touches the football. And, you know, we're going to have to make sure that we challenge him this week and be able to run the ball more than he has. I'm ready for Charlie to have a breakout game, and I think that he could do that this week.
I told Charlie on the sideline I've given him a new nickname, Charlie Jackrabbit Johnson. I really like Charlie. I enjoy him on the side. He's got such a positive attitude.
You know, he's got passion, and that's what we were watching the game this year. This morning we were watching a game from last year, and that's what I tried to get the kids to understand, you know, that there was some excitement last year when something would happen and the sideline would get excited. And I'm looking over, and I say, who is that? I said, is that Charlie Johnson bouncing, jumping up and down on the sideline when something positive happens? And, you know, but he's always been that way, and he works that way. He practices that way, and you know, Charlie's a special kid, and we think a lot of him, and you know, I just hope that he can have a breakout game.
You know, he took the ball there. I know it was against their JV team, but he took the ball there in the second half and 4 straight runs and just took it right down the field and scored on a 25-yarder. But
The same thing with Fulton City. He gets hit in the backfield and squirts under him, and he's, you know, he spits it for positive yardage. So. You know, we just need to make sure that we, you know, 2 or 3 plays that he can do, and we need to make sure we can block him for him.
So we're going to go split backs and put him and Nesbitt in the backfield.
We might do that. You never know what's going to happen.
I know some of the old timers wouldn't mind seeing a little more like something like that, an I formation or something.
They're going to see an I formation, but it's not going to be us this week. It's going to be Fulton County. They'll be an I.
Yeah. this, you know, running the spread offense now, like every, a lot of the teams are doing, and I guess that's just the new style of football.
You know, spread offense is here to stay, and the reason it's here to stay is because you get, an athletic quarterback that can run the football, then you present problems, and if you don't, your spread offense, then your defense has got to adjust to the spread, and then you can put a quarterback to throw it in there, and then you develop running lanes. If you go to the eye and you think about it, then if you condense the field and put everybody in the middle in an eye, then you condense the defense and put them the same way. It's not the smash mouth football that it used to be, but it's here to stay. And you're going to see people that come to the game this week at senior night. They're going to see an I formation team, and they're going to see what it does for them. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, and I was that way. I mean, I was that way from years. We were going to play smash mouth, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, control the change, control the clock. You know, long sustaining drives, and we have to evolve just like everybody else does, and is evolved to the spread offense.
Well, we're going to match up with Fulton County this Friday night. Like you said, it's senior night. There'll be a ceremony before the game, and I believe all of the seniors from across all sports will be there and be recognized. So it should be a big crowd this week.
Yeah, and come out and support us, and it should be a big crowd. It's a fall sports senior night, and we're looking forward to it. We told the seniors today that that we don't know for sure whether or not we'll play a home game advantage in the playoffs, but this could be their last home game as a Rocket, and that should mean something to them. And that's what we want them to understand and play with that kind of pride.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Friday night kickoff, 7:00.
All right, buddy. Thanks.